Well, we are in the middle of a series entitled World Changers, and we're talking about what we can do to change the world. Regardless of who you are, regardless of how old you are, what your background is, there's something that we all think can be done to go ahead and change the world. Recently, I just read a quick study about a group of high schoolers, and this group went ahead and answered some questions as to what they thought could be done to go ahead and change the world. And to no one's surprise, one of the top answers on their little survey was school lunches, right? You could go ahead and change school lunches, and that would be a good step in changing the world. Well, we continue from there, and here's something that stood out from this group of young people, because they were pretty smart and they understood some things. Sometimes we don't listen to young people. We don't get in touch with them. We don't find out what's going on in their world. And sometimes it's some of the similar things that are going on in our world. And here's what they said. If we could go ahead and change the world, one of the things that we would do is we would go ahead and change peer pressure. Have you ever noticed that no matter how old you are, but especially during those formative years, there's a pressure to conform. There's a pressure to be like someone else. There's a pressure to fit in. There's a pressure to have what they have. There's a pressure to be what someone or someone else wants you to be or thinks you should be. They said peer pressure. They said we would go ahead and make an effort to change hunger and poverty. Think about all the things that are going on in our world right now. Do you just think of all the nations that don't have the food that they need? They don't have the wealth that they need. And many places and many people have an abundance. Yet what's truly being done to make an impact and to bring about that change? Well, not only did they talk about something simple like a school lunch in a humorous way, they got down to peer pressure and eliminating that. And they understand that it affects every one of us. They talked about something like a social issue, like hunger and poverty and making a difference in eliminating that. But they came back to just loving each other more than we love ourselves. Because one of their top responses was, what would happen and how would the world change if we begin to love other people and care about them more than we do ourselves? Have you ever noticed that sometimes it seems like we live in a society that's very self-oriented? We're very oriented and driven to get what we want, when we want it, and how we want it, all the while conforming to what other people have, and all the while conforming to what other people expect us to do. We're very self-centered and very self-conscious. We know there's a lot of people that think the world needs to change in many ways. But the bottom line is this. While we would all come up with a list, some things that we would do to go ahead and change the world, the fundamental question is this. What am I doing to change the world in which I live? What am I doing to make a difference with my own life? What's taking place in my own heart? How am I being changed so that I can help other people be what God wants them to be, to help them reach their full potential? Well, today as we continue our series called World Changers, we've been looking at some characters and personalities in the Scriptures. We've taken a look at some people who have made an impact and they've changed the world. And last Sunday we took a look at a guy by the name of Noah. And we talked about how Noah spent 120 years and all that was changed was his family. But because he followed God and he listened to God and he worked and he did what he needed to do for 120 years, it may not look like he had much at the end of that 120 years, but the Bible says this. He walked with God. And because he walked with God, because he trusted God, he was a world changer. It would be easy to look at all the things that we think that Noah accomplished, and it would be easy to go ahead and point out some different things that we can look to and come up with some mathematical facts about the ark and all the other things. But the bottom line is this, it boils down to this. Noah was a world changer because he trusted God when no one else would. Today we look at a story about a guy by the name of Samson. And Samson had the strength to change the world. In fact, we're going to take a look at a passage of scripture in the book of Judges in just a moment. And what we're going to discover is this. From the outset, God's plan for his life was to go ahead and to be a world changer. And can I tell you something? From the outset of your life, God's plan is for you to be a world changer. Sometimes we think about being a world changer in a very big way. And some people set out and they go ahead and they change the world and they make an impact and it goes on and on and on and on long after they're gone. And people know about it. But some people set out to change the world. And before they change the world, they begin to change their heart and they begin to change their life and they begin to see a change in their relationships with their spouse and with their children and the places that they work and where they go to school. And people may never read their name. History may never record them as a great leader or a great influencer, but they bring about a change in the world that goes on and on and on long after they're gone. You see, Samson has something in common with you and I today. Samson had the strength to change the world, and you and I have the strength to change the world. Now, some of you are looking and you're saying, John, you don't know me very well. I'm not a very strong person. You don't know me very well. I don't really have anything in common with Samson. You know, when we get a picture in our mind about Samson, we get this picture in our mind about the guy that has all the muscles, right? And he's like, you know, 6'7", 6'8", maybe a little bit shorter than that, but he's just got these bulging biceps, and he walks into the room, and everybody notices how big he is, how strong he is. He's the guy that wears that medium t-shirt like somebody around here on staff that goes ahead and wears that shirt. That's three sizes too small, and says, "Oh no, really? It was." And that morning, he was in Titus's drawer, trying to get something out to put on. Brittany, that's right. And yeah, exactly. That's not the image that we need. We think of that because the Bible says he was strong, and immediately we think, "Wow, it's this guy that's just head and shoulders strong above everybody else." But when we begin to read some truth about Samson, we begin to see some truth about you and I as well. So let's go ahead and open up to Judges. And as we take a look at Judges today, I want to go ahead and take a look at Judges chapter 16. In Judges chapter 16, we're going to take a look at verse number 15. And in verse number 15, it says this. We pick up where Samson and Delilah are having a conversation. He's already told her a handful of things multiple times. And she's not real happy with him because he's not told her the truth. And in verse number 15, it says this. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me?" She looks at Samson and she bats her eyes at him and she says, "Samson, dear, love of my life, one who's supposed to love me, how can you go ahead and tell me that you really love me when your heart is not with me? You're not telling me the truth. You're not being honest with me." Samson goes ahead and goes a little further in this next section. She says, "You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it says this in verse number 16. It says, "And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death." I'm not going to say anything right now. I'm happily married at this moment. That he told her all his heart and said to her, "You want to know how I have this strength? You want to know how I do some of the things that I do? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to share it with you." And it's really not what you expect. It says, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, Then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. You see, we think of the stories about Samson, and we think, man, this big, huge, strong guy. But he himself says, look, there's something unique about me, and it's not the physical outside, so to speak. It's not just the hair thing. It's that I've got a special relationship and a special trust with God, and it's been a part for me. And if I go ahead and give that up, then I'm going to be like any other man. I'm just going to be normal. I'm just going to be just like them. So it says, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines, it came up to her and brought the money in her hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But here's the tragic statement of the story of his life. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Now, it doesn't look like Samson's much of a world changer at this point in time. But let's go ahead and back up, because we jumped in toward the end of the story. We're catching Samson right there shortly before he's going to make a departure from this life. We look at Samson, and there's a handful of things we know about him from that conversation. He's married to a lady named Delilah. He's went in and he said, hey, this is who I'm going to be with. So he makes his home there. He begins to go ahead and interact in ways with people that he doesn't need to go ahead and interact with. He begins to do some things. And the bottom line is this. Samson shares his heart. Samson gets a haircut that's going to change his life. And he comes to a place in his life where he's drifted so far from God that he doesn't even know it. And when he goes to do something about the circumstance he's in, then it dawns on him, and then he begins to realize, wow, I've gone so much farther than I ever thought I would go. You see, when Samson was young, from his mother's womb, God had a plan and God had a promise for him. Can I tell you something? That's one of the things that you and I have in common with Samson today. Is from the earliest moments of our life, God has a plan and God has a purpose, and God has something more for you and I to live for than just ourselves and more than just the moment. But when we go back and look at Samson's life, here's something that we're going to discover. The first thing that we just want to talk about this morning is he was set apart and he was set up for an incredible strength. He was set apart and he was set up for strength. You see, we look at our physical makeup and some of us would say, man, I'm not designed for strength. Well, we're not talking about a physical strength. And quite honestly, while we read and we see that Samson was physically strong, he wasn't talking about a physical strength either. You see, some of us need the strength to go ahead and change the world in which we live today, and that strength is available for you to do that. But let's take a look at the strength that he was set apart with and the strength that he was set up for. If we go back to Judges chapter 13, and we look at a couple of verses. In verse number 3, it says this. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. This is Samson's mother. And said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. He says, now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And get this. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You see, right now Israel is being ruled by the Philistines. And right now God is saying, look, Manoah and your wife, I just want you to understand that I'm getting ready to do something special. And I want to give you a son. And this son of yours is going to be set apart, and he's going to be set up. I'm setting him apart. That's what the Nazarite vow is all about. He says, now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat any unclean thing. This is a special situation. He says, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. He said, I'm doing something special. And here's one of the things that I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give him the strength to be what I want him to be. And that is going to be one who would deliver Israel. One who's going to go ahead and deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That's a pretty big purpose. That's something that's pretty special to be set apart for. God has this big purpose. God has this big plan. And guess what? In the midst of his purpose and plan, he gives Samson everything he needs to go ahead and to change the world. Can I tell you something today? I don't know exactly what you would like to change in your world, but I can tell you this. God gives us exactly what we need for our world to change. God gives us exactly what we need so that we might make a difference in the world in which we live. Some of us would say, well, what can I do? My life is insignificant. Can I tell you that he came to Manoah and he came to his wife? Samson's mother's name is not mentioned. He comes to Manoah, a broken, common, ordinary man who's married to a broken, common, ordinary woman. And he says, I want to do something incredible in you and through you. And guess what? I am going to use you to bring about one who's going to change the world for Israel. That's pretty incredible, right? I mean, just think about it. I'm going to let you be a part of something that's far bigger than what you could ever hope or imagine. And here's what takes place. God sets him up with the strength. God sets him up with the ability. God sets him up in the right situation, the right time. What will Samson do with it? You know, Jeremiah was told that I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to go ahead and give you a great future. To help you be a success. You see, it's not just unique to Samson. God had a purpose for Jeremiah, and God has a purpose for his people, and he has a purpose for you. That there's something that God has for you that would allow you to be a world changer. And as we look at the story of Samson, he comes from a common, ordinary family. But as common and as ordinary as they were, that they did something in the midst of a people who really weren't following God, is this: they trusted God when it seemed that others wouldn't. Can I tell you, when you look through Scripture and when you begin to trace things out and just look at common, ordinary people in the day and age in which they lived, one of the things that's going to ring true with each and every one of them is it seems that they trusted God at a moment when others wouldn't. And maybe that's what we need to go ahead and be a world changer in our life today. Maybe it's not all of the other things that we look at that are on the outside. Maybe it's not all the other things that we think we really need. Maybe it's just coming back and trusting God and saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you on this one. You see, right now, Manoah and his wife, they're trusting God. They don't understand everything, and it's completely unique. It's a foreign concept, but they're excited to be a part of what God has given them. As the story begins to unfold, they continue to have a heart for God. So Samson is set up and He's set apart for God to do something with, because God had something he wanted to do in his life. You see, they were common, ordinary people that were dependent upon God. And I often wonder how much more you and I could change the world if we would just focus on being the common, ordinary person that God wants us to be, that was dependent upon him, rather than giving in to what everybody else thinks we should be, or giving in to the temptation to become like everyone else, or giving in to that peer pressure to go ahead and conform. You see, the Bible teaches us that Samson had an uncommon strength. In verse number 5, it says, "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine." He said there's no razor that will come upon his head. He's never going to have a haircut. And as long as that takes place, he's going to be one that has an uncommon strength. You see, he had an uncommon spiritual strength. And Samson understood that, and he knew that. Yet he came to a place where he forgot that. Delilah says, "What makes you so strong?" And he says, "Oh, if you go ahead and tie some ropes around me, or if you tie a vine around me," he gives all these different things. That's it. No, he finally comes to a place where he says, "Okay, here's the secret to my strength. I've been set apart for God. And it's really a spiritual thing, but I've never had a haircut. And if you begin to go ahead and cut my hair, then I'm going to be just like any other man." It's an uncommon spiritual strength. But it's a spiritual strength that comes from being closely connected to God and his direction. You notice that there was a physical strength in Samson. We've talked about it. Samson went out and he's walking and he comes across the lion. It says in chapter 14, verse number 5, it says, "Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him." And it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hands." He's just walking, and here comes a lion. It's as if he goes ahead and reaches down through the lion's mouth and grabs it by the back of the tail and pulls the tail back through, turns him inside out, and just begins to go ahead and literally tear him apart. I don't know about you, but I'd call that strong, right? We go a little further. We find out that he takes care of 30 other men at one time. We go a little further and we find out that he's a little aggravated and he's doing battle and he just reaches down and he takes the jawbone of a donkey and he kills 1,000 men at one time. I mean, he can just go ahead and take something small and destroy an army of people just like that. He's got a great physical strength. In chapter 16, He's there, and people are laying in wait, and he waits until midnight. They think they're going to get him, and he goes out, and he literally picks up the gates of the city, posts and everything, and he puts them on his back, and he carries them up to the hill atop Hebron. And he looks out and says, "Look what I just did." He's pretty strong. We can't deny that. He's spiritually strong. He's physically strong. He's got a mental strength. He gives a riddle in chapter 14. He's always got a quick response for the different things that are there. He manages to go ahead and tie some foxtails together and he destroys an entire crop. It appears that Samson had an uncommon strength in every way. But here's what Samson does. And we're just going to go ahead and go through this quickly. Because whether you're spiritually strong, whether you're physically strong, whether you're mentally strong this morning, no matter where we find ourselves and no matter what we think of ourselves, here's what Samson did. Samson gives us a picture of a traded strength. You see, here's one who's set apart and he's set up with strength and for strength. He's got an uncommon strength. I mean, the guy is physically strong. He's mentally strong. He's mentally superior to those that are around him. You read through his story as it's recorded in about 3.5 chapters, and you find out that he's physically the best. He's mentally the best. And at one point in time, he was very, very strong spiritually. But he begins to go ahead and trade his strength. And it's a slow journey. It's a slow compromise. Here's what takes place in Samson's life. He traded the right for the wrong. In chapter 14, verse number 1, it says, "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines." Of the daughters of the Philistines. He's been given a responsibility by God. He's been made strong to go ahead and deliver them from the Philistines. And now what is he doing? It says, "So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistine. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife.'" And then here's what happens. "Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, or among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.'" Samson was ignoring what God revealed in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. God says, "Hey, don't go ahead and join yourself to someone who does not worship me." I know there are times in life when we're young and when we're growing up that we feel like mom and dad know nothing. Can I just kind of put you on the spot here this morning and it's just us talking? Do you ever feel like your parents know nothing? Yeah. They're not going to go ahead and raise their hand. They're not going to go ahead and say, "Yeah, put me in." They're thinking, "Man, I've got to go to lunch with these people afterwards." School's out, but I still need rides certain places, and I still need to eat, and I still need a place to live, right? No matter who we are when we're young, there are points and times where we think, "Wow, mom and dad just don't know what they are talking about." And Samson was young, and Samson said, "Look, Dad, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. This is what I want. She pleases me, so go and get her." He traded what was right for clearly what was wrong. See, it really is a black and white issue, so to speak. I mean, there's clear boundaries, clear guidelines. He's supposed to be a Nazarite. He's supposed to be set apart for God and for God's purpose. But now he's beginning to trade the right for the wrong. He says, "Never mind God's law. Never mind Dad and Mom. It pleases me." How many worlds are literally shattered from that statement? It's what I want. It's what's important to me. I can go ahead and I can have that right now. He begins to go ahead and trade the promise of God. In verse number 5, it says this, "So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. It says, and after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When it came to his father and mother, he gave them some, and they also ate. But he did not tell them what he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Verse number 10, it says, "So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so." Samson was a Nazarite. He was not supposed to eat anything unclean. He was not supposed to give himself to wine. Samson is in a vineyard. He's getting closer and closer and closer. He begins to go ahead and eat honey that comes from a carcass. And then it says he went down and he began to throw a feast. And the word that literally is used for feast, we would just say, hey, they were having a a wine garden event down there, and Samson is putting it on. He's just out there and he's saying, look, this is a wine feast, because that's literally what it was. So Samson has traded what was right for what's wrong, and now he's trading the promises, the things that God said, look, if you'll go ahead and stay strong in these areas and you'll follow me, you will be strong all the days of your life. He traded his purpose. You see, his purpose was revealed in Judges 13:5, that he would go ahead and deliver Israel from the Philistines. But somewhere along the line, Samson begins to live for something else. In Judges 15, verse number 11, it says, then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so I have done to them. There's no, they've dishonored God. There's no, I'm acting in a way that's pleasing to God. They're just saying, look, I'm doing to them what they have done to me. You see, his life is no longer about God. His life is squarely focused and centered upon him. And if we are not careful, here's what happens in our life. As strong as we might be, we will begin to go ahead and trade the things that God has given us to be world changers. We'll trade his direction. We'll trade his promises. We'll trade the purpose that he gives us, and we'll begin to live for ourselves. In Judges chapter 16, verse number 1, he traded his purity. The Bible plainly states that he went in and connected with a hooker. Some of you say, wow, that's pretty plain. I could make it plainer, but that's what Scripture says. He's trading his purity. He's just taking one more step and one more step. But he comes to a place where in the midst of hanging around with the enemy, in the midst of giving himself to one prostitute, he meets another by the name of Delilah. He gives herself to him, and now he's on the verge of trading his power. And that's what we started off with. Delilah says, what's the secret of your strength? And he tells her, but he lies. What's the secret of your strength? He tells her again, and he lies. What's the secret of your strength? He tells her again, and he lies. And finally she says, look, Samson, your heart is really not with me. Would you please go ahead and tell me what the secret of your power is? And he begins to go ahead and tell her the secret of his power. And literally he wakes up and the power is gone and he doesn't even know it. Do you know why he doesn't even know it? Because slowly over a period of time, he traded what was right for what was wrong. He traded God's promise for his purpose. He began to live for himself. He began to live for his own ways. And he began to get closer and closer and closer to the enemy of sin. And now Samson is not just as any other man. Samson finds himself to where he's traded his position and his potential. The Bible says in Judges chapter 16 that Samson is now grinding for the Philistines. One that was supposed to go ahead and deliver Israel from the Philistines is now grinding for the Philistines. One who was set up to be a judge, to lead, to protect, to help guide, it is now completely under control of the enemy that God said, I want you to deliver my people from. How did this man who was set up with strength and set up with purpose and promise to change the world, how did he get to this place? It's because he traded what God had for what he preferred. He said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to trade God's eternal purpose for my moment. You see, he was set up to be a world changer. And now, his position and his potential is revealed in verse number 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. In verse number 25, it says, so it happened when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. Do you know what that means? They said, go get Samson. We got a big crowd here, and we're going to go ahead and make fun of him. How does he get there? One who starts out from the mother's womb with a great purpose and a great plan that's been given by God. And now he's in a position to where he's literally enslaved. And they're making fun of him. We look, we find that sin enslaved him, doing his own thing, living his own way, is keeping him from changing the world like God had planned. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the story of Samson doesn't just end right here. Because the Bible says this in Judges chapter 16. It says, verse number 22, it says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. The story goes, and here's what we're going to see. What we've seen, a set apart and a set up strength. We've seen an uncommon strength. We've seen a traded strength. But now we're getting ready to see a restored strength. You see, God is in the business of restoring people. God is in the business of forgiving and righting some wrongs. God is in the business of erasing some sin. God is in the business of changing our lives so that we can go and change the world. And some of you might be here today and you say, John, my life is a mess. Can I tell you something? Samson's life was a mess, and God's getting ready to go ahead and change it. It says that Samson's hair began to grow, but in the process of his hair beginning to grow, his heart begins to reflect, and he begins to remember God's purpose and God's plan. And can I tell you something? It's never too late in this life to turn back to God. It's never too late to go ahead and get back to his direction, get back to the place where he wants us to be. We stop and we look. They called for Samson. And it says this, then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Samson calls out and says, Lord, oh, Lord God, my life is a mess. I've messed up. I've gotten myself in this situation. Would you please remember me? Would you please strengthen me? I pray just this once, oh God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. And he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came and took him. And they brought him up, and they buried him. Samson died as a young man. Can you imagine what could have been if he had just kept relying on that strength He just kept walking towards God. You see, God restored his strength. And God will restore our lives when we turn to him. But this morning, the thing that I want us to get is that God wants us to change the world, and we can be world changers. We just have to understand that changing the world is more about him than it is about us. Changing the world starts with staying connected and staying focused on God and his plan and his purpose, and relying on his strength and his ability and his timing. Not trading what he has given us for what we want. Samson was a world changer. He ended up judging for 20 years. But can you imagine what would have been had he stayed focused and kept looking to God? Can you imagine the things that could have been accomplished had he just said, "Wow, I'm not going to trade my strength for anything else"? You see, when Samson was making a trade, he was trading his relationship with God for the temporary things of this life, for the moments that happen and they're gone and they're over. You want to go ahead and be a world changer? I want to encourage you today to make certain of your relationship with God. And I want to encourage you to never trade it for anything or anyone. Because as long as Samson held on to that, Samson was the world changer that God wanted him to be. And you and I can be the world changer that God wants us to be when we hold on to that relationship with him and rely on his strength. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're just going to give a real simple invitation today. Maybe today you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never had that moment where you've trusted him. Today, if you'd like to know more about that, the moment that we begin to sing, just leave your place and come. Maybe you're here today and you know Christ, but you would just say, "Honestly, John, in some aspects, there's some things I've traded some things for, some areas of my life. I need to go ahead and make certain that I'm relying on God. I need to quit trading that strength. I need to quit trading those moments." Whatever it might be, I just encourage you to talk with God about it. So right now, let's just stand together. We're going to sing through this invitation chorus one time. If you need to know Jesus, I want to encourage you to step out and come. If you just say, "Look, I need some strength to hang on. I need some strength to change my world. I need some strength to stay connected to God and keep trusting him." And just step out and come and pray, whatever your need might be.